The epistle is written in the 9th chapter of St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, beginning at the 24th verse. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. End of the epistle.
The Holy Gospel is taken from the 20th chapter of Matthew, beginning at the first verse. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire labourers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the labourers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the labourers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them, and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Here ends the gospel.
Father in heaven, open our hearts to receive what you have for us in your word. And may we be not just hearers of your word, but doers. Amen. So this morning we'll look at the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. For a bit of context and background, this happened after the rich young ruler came to Christ and left sad because he loved wealth more than he loved God. And Christ's verdict at that time was, it's more difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. At that, the disciples were astonished and wondered out loud, who then could be saved? And Jesus' response was, salvation is possible only because God makes it possible. What is impossible for men is possible for God. And then Peter, perhaps counting the cost, asked Jesus what would happen to the disciples. They had left everything to follow Christ. What would they have? Now, should they have stayed at home in worldly wealth than followed Jesus, who was a homeless, poor rabbi? What would they have? And Jesus's encouragement to them was, whatever they left behind to follow him would pale in comparison to what they would gain from following him. You know, besides inheriting eternal life with Jesus, they would have hundredfold of what they left. But Jesus said also that many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. And went on to tell this parable, which we'll look at now, in which the master of the vineyard looked for laborers in the morning for his vineyard. You know, he found some men and sent them to his vineyard, having agreed to pay them one denarius or a penny. A denarius was the wage for a day's labor. You know, so the master was not cutting any corners. He was not cheating the laborers. He was being reasonable. A day's wage for a day's labor. But about 9 o'clock, he saw some more men just standing with nothing to do. He told them also, go to the vineyard and work, and they'd get paid whatever was right. You know, the master repeated this at noon and at 3 o'clock. And then at 5 o'clock, just before the end of the working day, he came across some men who had been standing around all day. And in modern parlance, he said to them, don't just stand there, do something. Go and work at the vineyard. And then, after the day was done, the foreman called the laborers so that they could get their wages. And the master started paying them in reverse order to the time they started work. So the 5 o'clock people got their wages first. And it was one denarius. Now that's the wage for a day's labor. And they'd only worked an hour. That's a good rate. You know, these men were delighted. Yes. Next came the 3 o'clock group. Now, if you're smart with numbers like I am, they would have quickly worked out, you'd have quickly worked out that the master would have given them 3 denarii if he was going to use the same rate. But lo and behold, 1 denarius. The group that started at noon, would they get 6? No, 1 denarius. How about the group that started at 9? Would they get 9? 1 denarius. Surely the group that started first thing in the morning deserved more than anyone else. 12 denarius. Denarii. No. 1 denarius. And at that point, everyone that had started earlier started to grumble and complain. You know, they had worked longer hours in the heat. You know, they hadn't come at 5 o'clock in the cool of the evening. The master was unfair. And here's a top tip I'll give to you. Be prepared for upset children if you tell this story to Sunday school. A friend of mine described how, when he heard this story in Sunday school, he was so upset he had to be restrained because it was clearly unfair. Wasn't Jesus supposed to be the paragon of fairness? This was not fair at all. And perhaps you feel the weight of the unfairness here today. You know, the first are being last to get paid, and they're not getting paid more than the last. They're getting paid the same. But what did the master say to these complaints? I have not cheated anyone. We agreed at the beginning of the day that I would pay you 1 denarius. I am doing you no wrong at all. Am I not allowed to do what I want with my things? You know, these are my denarii. This is my vineyard. I can do what I choose with my stuff. And this parable is a stark demonstration of God's grace to us. We often come to God thinking that we deserve his goodness. And even what we get from him, we think is not fair. We want more. You know, just like the rich young ruler, we think God owes us because we've kept his law. Or we think we have. Or we come to God like Peter, thinking, this had better be worth it. I've left everything to follow you. And Jesus tells Peter and tells us today, yes, it is worth everything to follow Christ. It is worth everything to follow Christ. Some have lost their lives to follow Christ. Some have been ostracized by family. You know, if you're a Muslim and you convert to Christianity, say goodbye to your community. But it is worth everything. And in our current culture, it would be more difficult to be a Christian if you say transgenderism is a sin. But it is worth following Christ. Following Christ is worth the loss of everything. Now, disciples of Christ, count the cost of this world, count the value of this world as dung in comparison to the value of knowing Christ and being known by Him. And yet we must not presume on God's kindness and generosity as to dictate to Him what we deserve. For a start, we are God haters by nature. We were conceived in iniquity, enemies of God, and on the run from Him, just like our father Adam. By nature, we are fugitives from justice, from the justice of God. So God has every right to crush us, as we heard from our collect. And yet, He condescends to call us to Him and work for Him for an everlasting reward. Now, we who were His enemies weren't just standing there doing nothing. We were actually working against the Master. We were shaking His fist at Him. And yet, He comes to us and addresses us as friend and gives us work for which we are rewarded. We were His enemies, but He made us His friends because of Christ. We should have worked for Him for nothing, but He rewards us. And He says to Peter here and the disciples, we have a reward for the good that we do. Every act of kindness that a Christian does, a glass of water, a prison visit, a word of encouragement, every act of kindness has an eternal reward. Not a perishable crown that the world chases after. Most here would not remember who won the women's 100 meters at the 1972 Olympics or the Champions League in 2004. How about the Cheltenham Cup in 2010? And yet these forgettable crowns are what we fight for. But we have an imperishable crown and all of God's goodness. And the greatest crown is eternal life. We have been saved from death to life, from hell to heaven, from solitary punishment to life spent with God and the rest of His children. No, we do not deserve this. God's love for sinners put Christ on the cross for our sins. No, the just for the unjust, so that we might be reconciled to God. We don't deserve eternal life. We don't deserve the rewards that come with it. It is because of God's love in Christ that we have all the good things of God. And this is God's grace for the sinner who spent his life robbing and killing people and has a deathbed conversion. Remember the thief on the cross. Today you will be with me in paradise. He gets eternal life. But just like the woman who, as far as she knows, has always been a Christian, lived faithfully as a daughter, a mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, faithful life, dies, her funeral attended by hundreds grateful for her life. She likewise gets the same eternal life as the robber. This is the grace of God given for sinners. And before you declare, that's unfair, the robber, faithful woman, you really don't want God to be fair. If God was fair, heaven would be empty. Fair would be God sending every rebellious heart to eternal damnation. Fair would be God not even rewarding you for what good you do to your neighbor. God's grace is His uncoerced generosity to give what He wants to whom He wills for their good and His glory. We have no right or claim to question why He gives in different measures. It is His to do as He wills. Ours is to praise him for what he has given us. And as we come to the table this morning, may we be reminded of God's grace shown in the life and death of Christ for our sin. He didn't have to do it, but he did. And for that, let us not grumble. Let us not think it's unfair. Rather, let us be thankful. Let us be thankful. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are generous, you are loving, and you show your love to creatures that are rebellious, that are enemies, and you have made us your friends. Help us not to presume on your kindness, and give us thankful hearts to see the goodness that you have shown to us in Christ, who lived and died for his enemies. Give us thankful hearts as we come to your table. We pray all this for the sake of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.